Don't have it.
Would that automatically report over?
No. All right, how about? I figure we got more to come than we had since I didn't get the rest in here. Anyway, sorry, gentlemen out there, all your ships at sea, but you just sunk. Somehow or other, we lost the first part of this year, but we're continuing on Daf Yud Amud Aleph in the Masechet Shabbos. So anyway, Reb Chiya Bar Rav Midifti, I might as well start from the beginning, I'm sorry. Reb Chista Rabba Bar Rav Huna would be sitting all day long. They had a long line of people that were waiting for din. Means that they felt miserable at the fact that they weren't doing any learning. Their entire schedule was being taken up by the Dayanut. Other Rishonim Taina that that's never called Chalash Libayu. That's Chalash Dat Taina. Chalash Libayu always means, as you say in Yiddish, Smishvachach and Haritz. I'm hungry is what it really means. So Chalash Libayu means like that it was like they didn't have a chance to interrupt. Tanel Reb Chiya Bar Rav Midifti. So Reb Chiya Bar Rav Midifti taught them. It says that in the Midbar, what Yitro saw, was that people were standing in line from morning to evening. Now I ask you something. You really believe that Moshe sat there all day long for people to sit in line? When did you think you had time to learn? I mean, he was Moshe Rabbeinu. No, I mean, had to have 5 minutes a day. Here it says, Men HaBoker Ad Erev. So what do you think he did all day long? Ella, what does this teach you? Omar lecha. That kol dayan shedan din emet lamito afilu sha'a achat ma'ale ala v'katuv kilo na'aseh shutaf la'kadosh baruch hu b'ma'aseh v'reshit. This teaches you that 1 hour of din is the equivalent of creating the world. K'tivacha v'yamod ama Moshe min ha'boker ad ha'erev. That's his v'yerev v'yiboker, yom echad. So you see that din is the kiyuma olam. And obviously, oh boy, this is serious problems because it's much better than my separations. It was also not a real literal day. Because if I even know we're comparing it to Moshe Rabbeinu, then on the contrary, if we're comparing it to Vayir Vayboker, it had to mean the whole day. I don't know. This is becoming a soda vimuna lately, no?
Yeah.
That Vayir Vayboker means 24 hours, with the sun or without it. You haven't heard this? If you disagree with that, you should be put into chayim. Anyway, but over here it says what it means. Basically, it's a remez to Maaseh Bereishis, in which the day is not a particular amount of time. The day is the esek in that issue. So here too, min ha'erev ad ha'boker, it doesn't mean that he sat there all day, obviously, that would be a joke. It means that they were doing the equivalent of Maaseh Bereishis. And so too, you guys don't have to sit all day. And that's not the way to do it. How much time should be allotted of the day to din? This puts together the opening of the sugya with the cholash libayu. You don't go beyond the time that you normally eat. That it would explain that the cholash libayu means that they went beyond this manas uda. And he was teaching them, no, it doesn't mean that you have to go all day. So how much time is it until it's time to eat? So you do your din in the morning, and then you eat. That's the pshat. Om Rav Sheshda Zman Su'uda. Om Rav Chama Maikra. Where do we see this in the Torah? Dichtiv Eloch Eret Shemalkech Na'ar V'sarayach Baboker Yochel. Woe to a country where your leader is a fool, a child, and your noblemen sit and eat in the morning, and that's their concern. Ashrecher Shemalkech ben Chorim. Happy is a country who has a leader who is a free man, doesn't have to follow his needs all the time. V'sarayach ba'et yochelu. Your sarim eat at the correct time. V'gvura. Gvura, of course, is a remez to din. V'lo b'shti. This is b'gvura shel Torah. V'lo b'shtiya shel yayin. So that means that the day begins with the gvura of the application of Torah, and only then the yain. What are these shiurim? Tana Rabbanan, sha'arishana machal ludim. The first hour is the time at which Rashi says these are cannibals, these ludim. So they must be awfully hungry, you know. So these people eat early in the morning.
Who's for breakfast?
Exactly.
Isn't it the early cannibal? It's the early.
Might have something to do with the people that are up all night playing soccer and lose that. Mishniyama halistim, Rashi, they're up all night, working. If you're a burglar, and a highway robber, so they get a couple hours of sleep in the early morning, so they can't eat early when they'd like to because they're sleeping. Okay, so they wake up to eat Shniya. Shlishit makal yorshim, the heirs, they have second generation riches. They don't have to think about money, so they can, they eat early in the day. Revit makal poalim, people have to work, they're out working early in the morning, have time to eat. They break at the fourth hour. Chamishit makal koladam. Really? I thought Rav Papa said revit is matzudal koladam. Whoops, sorry, I got that mixed up. Revit is makal koladam. Chamishit is ma'achal po'alim. Shishit is ma'achal tamidei chachamim. So in other words, the Talmud Chacham, and here in reference to the Zman of Din, you should be osek in your learning and in your dinim early in the morning. And then at the sixth hour, that's when you should now, beginning at the sixth hour, you should eat, which is why we shouldn't, even on a Shabbos, you shouldn't go beyond that without having a suda. From that point on, it's like taking your water bottle, your canteen, and filling it with avanim instead of with water, with drink. Rashi brings that some hold it means that it's damaging to the body at that point. But others learn that he says, I think that it just means it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't necessarily mean it's damaging, but it's not going to give you any nutrition. This is only if it's on an empty stomach. If you had something to eat early in the morning, you can put off the big soda till later. Sorry, Scott. What?
No, but doesn't that make an afkamina that they're pushing it off to ask you to learn more Torah?
You're not supposed to damage yourself. So.
But they're still pushing off the meal. They're not eating what everyone else eats.
Exactly. That's what he's telling them. That's what it means in the pasuk. Happy is the land in which that's pushed off.
But the Dayan shouldn't push it off an hour or two. Like
beyond that, beyond Shashishi. Okay. That's what he's telling.
Shashishi, is that Chatzos?
End of
Shashishi.
Yeah.
End of Shashishi.
What's it about
12
o'clock? When is
it Shashishi? 10 o'clock? Depends how long the day is. The end of the sixth hour is what we call Chatzos, which is now 12:40. Approximately, right? Omer Ravada Barava Mitzpalel Adam Tfilato Bebeit HaMerchatz. You can daven in a bed house. What? Meitve. This really solves a lot of people's problems. Meitve. Hanichnas LeBeit HaMerchatz. Makom Shabbat. So they basically had three sections of the Beit HaMerchatz, which we also do, really. I mean, you have the opening area where, you get your towels and not here in the Rova, but a place where you can sit down, relax, afterwards get a little drink, a Coke machine. Then you have the middle area, which is the dressing room, and then you have the inside area, the actual Beit HaMerchatz. So, b'makom shebnei adam omdim levushim, which is the entry hall. So over there, yesha mikra v'tvila. Over there, you could say kriyat shema, you can daven. Ve'ein tzirik lomar shilat shalom, you can certainly say shalom to somebody. We'll see later on that there's a problem of saying shalom because it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeiniyak tefillin, you can even put on your tefillin. It's obviously, you don't have to take them off if you're wearing them. The only reason we bother saying this is because later on there is places where you have to take them off. Makom shmei adam omdim arumim ulabushim. If you have a dressing room where some people are undressed and some are dressed, yesham she'elat shalom, but there's no saying Kriyat Shema, there's no Tefillah, and you don't have to take off your Tefillin, but you don't put on your Tefillin L'chatchila. And the inside, where people are actually in the pools, B'kom Shemei Adam Omdim Arumim, Ein Sham She'ilat Shalom, you don't even say Shalom in there, Ve'in Tzarech Lomar Mikra V'Tefillah, as a matter of fact, you even have to take off your Tefillin, and obviously, you don't need to say She'eno Menichan. But anyway, so what was he talking about? I mean, you can pray in a Beit HaMerchatz. Obviously, we could have said at this point that you could pray in the outside room, but then it's not a chiddush, because that's a given in the din of a Beit HaMerchatz. So what did he mean? Well, Rav Ada Bar Ava meant that you can pray in the Beit HaMerchatz when it's empty, when nobody's there, so that the place is not a problem. Really? Actually, the din of a merchat is even if nobody's in it, and the same thing is true of a bathroom. All the din of a beit hakiseh is even if it's been cleaned. It still is the din of a beit hakiseh, by virtue of the fact that that's what it's used for. So the din of a beit hamerchat has nothing to do with people actually standing there. Rav Ada was referring to a brand new Beit HaMerchatz that had never ever been used, had been designated as a Beit HaMerchatz. And the question is whether the designation alone gives it a din of a Beit HaMerchatz, because after all, it's like, and in the same way that you understand that there would be a concept of walking into a new building in which they've installed a bathroom, and you're going to go in there and say, I need a moment to pray. Nobody's ever used this bathroom. You're going to be sitting amidst the urinals praying. I mean, it's a little bit strange. I mean, but you can question. So what? I mean, nobody's ever used it. It's not dirty or anything. So you just say, I mean, because it says a name on it, Beit HaKiseh. But Enochinami, that's the halacha. That there's a question about whether Hazmanah per se is Ami Boy by the Ravina. He's Mino the Beit HaKiseh. Hazmanah per se. Just calling it a Beit HaKiseh, even though it's never been used. What's the din? Mahu? Yeh zimun, o'ein zimun, v'lo yifshit aleh. We never came to a clear psak that such a thing is mutar. So why are you being matirit when it comes to the Beit HaMerchatz? So lavu adin lemerchatz, wouldn't it be the same thing? No. Not necessarily. Because Dilma shiny Beit HaKiseh, demoyis, clearly there's a much greater sense of the inappropriate to be davening in a Beit HaKiseh than there is in an area where there's a pool. I mean, okay, it's never been used, it's not dirty, everything's brand new, shiny, clean. You don't have the sense of the dirt that's involved, associated with the name of the pool.
Well, these three levels of the Merchatz, Helet Brochas,
it's the same thing as Tefillah.
As Tefillah as Tefillah?
Tefillah, yeah.
Where you can daven.
Tefillin has two dinim. You can't refer to tefillin because it's a place where you don't put on, you don't take off.
Right. But same as tefillin. No,
the same or sure, yeah. But we put them all in the same askar as Hashem. Yeah. Oh, ein sham shilat shalom. V'seilei l'ruham nuna mishmedu ulam. The Amar asur la adam shiten shalom b'chaverol v'beit hamerchatz. You cannot say the word shalom in a beit hamerchatz. Mishum shneemar. Vayikra lo Hashem shalom. You see that, and it says Al Shem Hashem is the closing of the pasuk. So you see that Gidon essentially gave the name shalom to the Gilui Hashrina that he was over to. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shakol Yemid Varon. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Lamiata. Of course, this has nothing to do with who said the din. Miata imnu said Amiyos Lameima. We shouldn't be able to say Rav Hamnuna. I mean Rav Hamnusa. I mean Hamnusa. They used to say Lashon Hara. Absolutely. Emunna. Right? They still feel like people say that. As you shouldn't be able to, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called a Ela Ne'eman. V'chite Mahokinami. Maybe you'll say so. Who said that it's mutter? V'yoma Rav Bar Machas. Rav Kama Baguri Yoma Rav. Shori L'meimer Emnut V'Beit HaKiseh. Actually, you are allowed to say V'Emnuta. In the Beit HaKiseh. So, I mean, obviously in the Beit HaMerchatz. Now, there's a big difference. Over there, Hatam Shen Gufe Lo Ikreachi. It's not that God is called Himnuta. It's that we're saying, take a look at the Targum. Elaha Mehemna. The God who is reliable. Faithful. That doesn't mean faithful is His name. But Hakashem Gufe Yikrishal, over here, it's a direct reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dichtiva Yikra Lo Hashem Shalom. Now it's interesting that Rav Moshe Paskins in various Shuvahs to be makil on this issue, people don't have in mind, it's like saying ginger kale. Now people don't have in mind the Lord when they say Shalom. So, I mean, it's not, it doesn't have any. You do have people say ginger kale.
Yeah,
However, others tain against Rav Moshe, because Rashi learns that the takona of Boaz is mekuyam by us by the use of shalom. Remember, Boaz was mitaketz b'shanim achim to be maskir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that became changed from meshach adorot to shalom alechem. But that would be used. The dafka, the tikkun of the shalom that's used there, does not mean peace. It means God be with you. So whether a person recognizes or that, the usage of that greeting is begetter using Hashem Imachem. Yomar Rava Bar Machasya, Rav Chama Bar Guri. We have a lot of Ma'amorim of Rava Bar Machasya here in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guri, Yomar Rav. Hanotein matana l'chavirot tzarich l'hodiyo. If you give someone a gift, you have to let him know that you gave him that gift. And it can't be an anonymous gift. Shenemar l'da'at ki ani Hashem ekadishchem. You have to know that I am the Lord who gave you Kiddusha. Tanya Amiyachi, Ladat Kani Emakadishchem. What does this mean? It shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli Bebet Ginazai, Bishabak Shema. That's the marker of Kiddusha, Shabbos. Vani Mevakesh Nitla Yisrael. I want to give Shabbat to Yisrael. Leheich Vahodiyim, go tell them that that's the thing that I'm going to give them. Mikan Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Hanotein Pat L'Tinok Tzarich L'Hodi Al Imo. If you give a sandwich to a kid, you have to let his mother know that you fed him. Ma'yavet Lev. Because this way they will recognize, Rashi brings in Be'ah, Rashi brings that it means that you're going to be Marva Ava Bereus B'Yisrael. Because people will see that you care about their children, and you worry about their family. So, if you just give it stam, you don't get the maximal effect of what you're doing. The maximal effect is to be marba ava bereut.
But today, Archimedes, what hesher was it?
Right. We'll get there. Don't laugh. My avid laser, what should you do? Rabbi, shayflei mashke, you know, rub some of the jelly around his lips, you know, then they'll know them. How'd you get that jelly on your lips? Joe gave me a jelly sandwich. Or a malele kuchla, or you give some of the kul that they were used for the naim. Of course, nowadays, the chashin l'kshofi, now your kid would come back home like that, you'd call the police. Candyman! Don't go near the candyman! Or God only knows, there's razor blades in them there sandwiches. So of course, nowadays, what do you do?
Say the rapper of him.
Or with a figure, you're giving them tarfus. Ravashi Sharf Le Mioto Amin. Over there, you better make sure it's the same min as the sandwich.
Sugar.
Yeah, that's right.
Poison.
Yeah. Your parents just try to give their kids it, and then they go crazy. Yeah. So, but this wouldn't work, Bisman Azer. And like, you should walk around with a little stamp that has no U on it, maybe. Omar. So, Omar, Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Notin Matana L'Chavero, Ein Tzarich L'Hodiyo. We have exactly the opposite. Ma'amar, and he brings a right from the Pasuk. Shemru Moshe lo yada ki karan or panas dabro ito. If he gave Moshe a gift, shouldn't he say, Moshe, I'm giving you a gift? Now, that's not a question. Over there, Lokasha, we built David Lagluye. Obviously, he's going to find out very quickly, right? So then it becomes even more dramatic. This is something that's not going to become clear. I understand. So then Shabbat itself, what's your answer? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, I'm giving Klal Yisrael Shabbat. So why does he have to tell them in advance when they get the mitzvah? They'll know they have Shabbat. They'll know they have Shabbat, but they won't recognize its value. Matan Schara lo abid l'gluye. So that, Moshe Rabbein had to tell them, you should know, the Shabbat that I'm giving you, this is what it's worth. That's different. Tosfos points out that obviously this is only talking about where the source of the gift is an act of love. If the gift is mitam tzedakah, then it's going to be busha to the person over there. Clearly, matan seter is adif because it's makpeah. But where you're talking about showing love to someone, there the more love is increased by your gift, the greater is the achievement that you've achieved.
I mean, as far as this Kedusha, since the Pasuk was doing Kedusha, therefore as far as
perhaps. Words of Shabbat. I mean, you need to know what that Kedusha is worth, I guess.
Or is the Right, in return for keeping Shabbos, you will get star, and that will be, you may not know that, but you'll get that kedusha from it. So.
Rav Chista, Avinokit B'yodei Tarte Matanta de Tura. We're talking about over here various maimorim of Rav, that Rav Abamrachasi was saying over from Rav Chama Bar Guria. Rav Chista, who was a Kohen, we know that Rav Chista was a Kohen from the story in Brochus, where they tried to find the another example of families that had children married to each other where both sides were Kohen, it was more than one child's. And the only case they found is Rav Chista's daughter. He was a Kohen, the other side wasn't. All right, so, but meanwhile, we know he was a Kohen. So he was carrying around Tarte Matanta, the Tur, was carrying around the Zrolo Chayim, the cave, and two whole gifts. That's a serious, serious piece of meat, including the tongue. And he said, anybody who could come and tell me something I never heard before. From Rav, I'm going to give him all of this. 30 pounds of meat. Come on. So, as Rav Bar Machasya, who was exactly, was the one who was quoting all the other things of Rav that we had, Rav Bar Machasya was fortunate to be around, and he said, Amar Rav, Anotein Matana L'Chaveiro Tzarich L'Hodiyo. You're going to give a gift to somebody, you have to let him know that you gave the gift. Shenema L'Da'at Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. So I guess you let me know you're giving me the gift. So we gave him the gifts. It was a matana. So he gave him both of them. Omar, so Rabbi Mamachai said, wow, Chavimen Alecha Shemaitzit Rav Kulei Hai? You like Rav's Maimorim? And this wasn't like the greatest thing Rav ever said. I mean, it means so much to you. Omar Lagin, absolutely. It's interesting because, you know, Rav once said that Milta Alavishayu Yakira, that a coat is worth a heck of a lot to a guy who always wears the coat. So hey, nobody else may think it's great, but to him it's really special. I said, Rav said that? Yeah, he said, Rav said that. Oh my God! But right that Ephelina Kamaita, I like that even better than the first part you told me. If I would have had another one of these tongues, I would have given it to you for that one. Yavin Akitna Achrita, Yavin Alecha. If somebody, look, you know, to you, you open up some of these magazines sometimes, and you see these incredible things that people are paying $5,000 for, and you're, who the heck would wear that? You're thinking to yourself, okay? These people are mad. That's what you think. But Rav said, no, it's not true. And Milsa Alavishar Yukore, somebody that's regular, but that's the way he goes, to him, that's what it's worth. It's not shy to say, it's an absolute value. Why would anybody pay $300 for a tie? A guy always wears Hermes ties. That's what it's worth. You know, it's like when you used to pay $5 for a suit, and all of a sudden people are paying you about that. $500 for a suit. It's inconceivable. Yeah, that's what a suit is worth. So that's what Rob was saying. So I see, that's the way, I don't understand how somebody would pay that much for a sort of side comment that Rob once made. So I said, that's exactly what Rob said. So I like that comment even better. Omar Rav Bar Machasya, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav. Give me another mimer of Rav. You don't want to interrupt this one. La'olam al yishane adam beno bein abanim. Never treat one child differently than another. Shebishvil mishkel shnei sloy milat. Shenatan Yaakov liYosef. Yoter mishar banav nitkanu beachav nitkagel adavar viardu avotenu l'mitzrayim. For 2 cents worth of additional material that Yaakov gave to Yosef, we ended up in Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, I got 2 slayim. I mean, he can't be the Ketonet Pasim was only worth 2 slayim more. Although he says, it's like you say 2 cents. You know, in other words, for all intents and purposes, I mean, how much was it worth? That $20, $200, man. For that, you need 400 years of slavery. You know. But Rashi says, L'maisa, there's a pshat that says that the Ketonet Pasim was actually only a pas around the cuffs. So it was just like one little piece of nice material to, you know, so it was like a striped, pretty kind of shirt, but wasn't like the whole thing was made out of milat. So maybe it really was only, what's that?
What would Lloyd Andrew wear to do that?
Yeah, I get it. That would be a problem.
Right.
Now, what would they do with it in Lakewood also? They would have thrown him out of the base of Medrash.
Yes.
Walking in like that. I mean, my gosh. No wonder he got into such trouble. So.
So this would be connected to the previous one, by saying that it was Mamash Kimat Nothing.
Milta. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, but because, no, I'm saying the previous one says Milta.
Yeah, Milta refers to Ketonet Pasim.
And that, but it was nothing, it was a little bit.
He doesn't listen, but okay, go ahead. It was a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Actually, there's an interesting tosis over here that asks, I mean, obviously they have to go down to Mitzrayim. It was exactly, they had to go down to Mitzrayim. I mean, so what, how can you attribute it?
Yeah, but they didn't have to then, it could have been later.
Okay. Say that. Tosfos gives a strange teretz. Tosfos says maybe the extent of the Shibud is what the Gemara is referring to. But Maisa, the whole question of Tosfos is very strange, because we're always mechalic between the mechanisms of a thing and the fact that it has to happen. I mean, it's like Revach Vatzala Yamod Le'yodim Mokom Acher. Told me you have to go down to Mitzrayim. Fine. But how did you get to go down to Mitzrayim? So, after Beit Avich Toveva, same thing over here. How did you get to go down to Mitzrayim? You got through Yosef. So that becomes now an indication of behavioral limudim. What's the kasha b'chalal? It's amazing that someone would ask such a question. It doesn't seem to need a teretz. The Omer Rabba Bar Machasya, Omer Rabba Chama Bar Guri Omer Rab. Another mimer by Rabba Bar Machasya is Lo'olam Yechazer Adam V'yeshev Be'ir Shishivata Klova. Always try to find a new city to live in. The younger the city is, the more of a chance it has of survival. Where do we see that? Shemitoch Shishivata Klova Avonotea Muatim. The younger the city is, the less filthy it is. People haven't had a chance to dirty it up properly. Shenemar hine na ha'ir hazot krova lanutz shama v'hi mitzar. Lot tells the Malachim, look, if you're going to destroy Sodom, don't destroy Tzoar. Now, what does he mean when he says, look, that city is close by and it's small. So what does that mean? Ilay mekrova, does he mean literally krova is that it's close by so we can get there quickly? And Mitzar is the pshat that it's a small town, so it doesn't really matter so much. I mean, if he's pointing to it, right? He's saying, let's go here. He doesn't have to explain to them that it's close. I mean, I'm telling you that here's an option. What he's saying is, Krova, it has been more recently settled. And Mikrova means, that's right. And Zuta means that therefore, it's mutsoar, it's avonotel mutsarin. It has fewer avonot, and therefore is less roadway to be destroyed along with Sodom. So therefore, how do we know that this is true, by the way? Because, you know, Amr of Avin, if you take a look at there's a remez even in his words. Mikra, the thing, imalta na shama, please. But that na, bigamatria, is 51. Whereas we know that Sodom at that time, Richie, Sodom at that time was 52 years old. And we'll explain how we know that in a moment. Sodom was 52. Mishalvata esrim v'shesh. The time in which the Nabi refers to Sodom as the Goon Sveat Lachem, I mean, it's like the Shalvat Hashket, right? We talked about how Sodom was. How long was that grand period in which Sodom becomes a model for Shalva? 26 years.
The golden age of Sodom.
But it's enough to become a model in the Navi. How do we know that it was only 26? Because it says, Shteim esrei shana avdu et kedar la'omer, v'shlosh esrei shana mordu, u'barba esrei shana. In other words, the whole war with Avram and the Malachim, in order to save Sodom, tells us that out of the 52 years that you have now, there was a rebellion that was going on now over here. These Shlosh Yishrei Shana Mordu, that's no longer called Shalom, obviously, right? Okay, at that point, it's Kedar LaOmer was killed, and that means that the rest of the time that it had, it was B'shalva. So in other words, you had another 26 years. But that's it.
What does Shava mean literally?
Shava means calm, placid. The sense of...
tranquil.
This, it's more than tranquil. It also implies... What's the word when somebody is satisfied with what he's got?
Satiated?
No. Where he wants...
Content?
What?
Content?
No. Thanks, man. No, there's a feeling where a guy, you know, doesn't want to challenge his beliefs and everything. Come on, man.
Complacent,
thank you. Shalva has the sense of complacency as the Navi is using it, right? We find that is used in terms of the Western civilization. Rashi closes the Torah by talking about Ad HaYama Acharon. It says that he showed him the Arzot HaMa'arav, is certainly at that time referenced in Maghrib, what we call today, but Arzot HaMa'arav B'Shalvatam. There's that unbelievable sense of complacency that you find in Europe and in the West as well. Everything is fine. It'll keep going forever. Problems will always work themselves out somehow or other. The simple solutions that they have for everybody else's problems, or this is that, and that's that. That sense of shalva. So 26 years, that was the don't. That's exactly what Stone was. Don't bother us with your problems. Keep them at bay. Controlled communities, right? That's the whole point of Sodom. Don't let anybody in. We don't want to be troubled by other people's troubles. Everything here is fine. Keep the immigrants away and everything will be okay. Gated communities, exactly.
Soar.
Soar was 1 year less. Now, Rashi points out, this is a beautiful, beautiful, Rashi says, a whole understanding of the Tekufa. Rashi points out that if you analyze the years of Peleg, who was called Peleg because B'yamav Niflega Ha'aretz, Peleg died, and the Medrash darshans that Peleg was called Al Shem Sofo, that he was to live, Richie, until the point at which the earth split, which is the Dor HaFloh. Peleg's death occurs 48 years after Avram's birth, which is interesting. So what happens is that the Haflaga, which we will assume is the time which you scatter from Babel and settle in Sodom, is when Avram is 48, right? Now, if you from the time, he makes a cheshbon like this. By Sodom, it must have been that Avram was 99. Because the Malachim came a year before the birth of Yitzchak. It went directly onto Sodom. When Yitzchak was born, he was 100. So he must have been 99. Right? Okay, so therefore, it must be that it had this 52 years. Out of that time, this was the years of the Shalva. Because that was the time that Avram had his war. The problem is, Tosfos asks on this. This is the Cheshbon, it's beautiful. The problem is that if you add 26, because that's the year of the war, so then it's Mashma that Avram was 73 when he fought that war. Right?
Okay.
If it was only 73 when he fought that war, then something doesn't work out. Because according to the Seder HaElam, Avram Avinu had gone back home from his pilot trip to Eretz Yisrael. This is this whole beautiful analysis, in that he was 70 years old at the Brit Ben Amtarim. But it says in the Chumash he was 75 when he left Aram. So obviously he had gone back. The first trip was a pilot trip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him all the standard promises that the Sofmit always promises. When he ends up getting there, of course, there's no job, there's no food. He has to go out to Mitzrayim and so on. Also, classic. Vice Ovis Simon the Bunny.
He blew his free out, I'll tell you.
That's right. So nothing changes, but that means that he had to have been 75 years old because it's Avram Ben Chamesh Shanim V'Shivim Shan B'Tzeto Micharan. So how do we explain that? That the Kvisha of the Malachim was while he was in Choran, according to this, but that doesn't make sense. Right? So it says, look, yeah, it could be that maybe there were years of Shalva before, not only after. That's because it doesn't tell us over here precisely. Okay, but it's a very interesting. By the way, speaking to Torontonians, if you look at the difference of Toronto, Toronto is a new city, basically. New city. Yeah. In other words, most of the city is brand new. It's very, very rare. Right? Because usually cities continue to build in their center. Toronto blossomed out into new areas and ignored the center for almost forever, but built cities, not American suburbs. That's what's so special about it. It didn't have suburbs. It was all city, immense buildings, immense apartment buildings. There are no suburbs, really, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You follow Bathurst down, and there's apartment buildings all the way north, right?
All the way.
All the way. It's not suburbs. So it was a city that was built out of nothing. Lemaisa, that city had in it, and I lived there. I lived there in 66. I lived in Toronto. That's where Levia was born. And it was so clear that Yeshivata Krova, there was such a sense of purity and freshness and excitement.
It's not so much like that anymore.
It's not like that. Same. When I came back like 20, 30 years later, I was shocked at all my memories. Like, well, yeah, it's the same like any place else. You know, same sense of ugliness and so on. You know, it's cleaner physically. But that idea of Yeshivata Krova was no longer present. Mamisht experienced such a thing. It was so belate. There's an immense feeling of hopefulness and brightness and cleanness.
It was
wonderful.
Huh? It was a very nice place to grow up.
Wonderful, wonderful place.
It's amazing that 1 year would make the difference.
Yeah, no, it's not so amazing. I'm saying a year at a time. I'm talking about a short period of 20 years, 30 years.
No, 1 year.
I'm saying if then it would be such a dramatic difference. That even today you can feel the difference. It's really an amazing thing. Okay, a lot of fun. We'll do our chazorah.